cigarette?
Have I got a cigarette? Dean, I've got the cigarette.
You mean Chesterfield?
I mean Chesterfield.
I'm with you.
Which means that Chesterfield, the first cigarette in America to give you premium quality in both regular and king size, brings you the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show.
Best possible smoke for all you folks.
Sound off for Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Try a pack of Chesterfield.
And do it today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring you our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Well, some people think there must be an easier way to make a living, but I can't think of a happier way than coming up to the good old NBC mic every Tuesday. So before my pal and partner emerges from his cage, let's get on with the song, Richard.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends upon you. I never mind the rain from the sky if I can find the sun in your eyes. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you. Ah, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am. So what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you. But when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am, so what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you.
Gentlemen, it gives me great
pleasure. Hey, Dean, I got something to tell you, Dean.
My pal Jerry Lewis. I'm not telling you, Jerry. Why are you so excited?
Well, I was up. I'm so excited. I was up on a third floor, and I met a woman who says that she knew me when I was a little boy. And she remembers all the things I did when I was very young.
Jerry, I saw you talking to that lady, and it was your mother. Good heavens, no wonder she threw me down the stairs. Oh, stop it, Jerry. Your mother could never do such a thing.
I was just kidding, Dean. Mama's really very sweet and tender.
How do you know she's sweet and tender?
I bit her.
Well, that's terrible, Jerry. That is terrible. You shouldn't do that. Why do you come out here and say these stupid things? Why must you be so brainless?
I can't help it. Someone stole my hat.
Why must you be brainless? Because someone stole your hat?
My head was in it.
Oh. No, speaking of heads, yours should be examined.
Oh, it was, Dean. In fact, I had a complete examination. The doctor said I suffer from glugophobia.
Glugophobia?
Oh, yeah. It's a fear of drowning in mayonnaise.
Now, don't tell me you're afraid of drowning in mayonnaise.
Sure, that's why you never see me in a salad bowl.
There isn't a bit of truth in anything you just said. You made it all up.
But suppose it was true. Suppose I didn't make it up.
I suppose. Suppose some night they moved the Empire State Building over to New Jersey.
There'd be one heck of a parking lot in New York.
Look, Jerry, you gotta stop this crazy talk. Why can't you speak with dignity?
Herman Dignity, is he on the show?
There is no Herman Dignity.
Good gracious, and he had so much to live for.
same to you. I'm getting tired of Jerry Lewis.
Well, then why don't I become Clyde Cranston?
And who is Clyde Cranston?
Only the greatest authority on etiquette the world has ever known.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me dubious pleasure to bring you the world's greatest authority on proper behavior, Mr. Clyde Cranston. Well, Mr. Cranston, it is certainly a pleasure to have a man of your culture attainments on this program.
You better say that or I'll belt you one.
Mr. Cranston, would you care to give us some advice on proper etiquette?
I wouldn't care to give nothing.
Do you mean you want money for your advice?
What do you think I want, Halivar? I want money.
Oh, come now. Money isn't everything. It can't buy love.
Maybe it can't buy love, but it's sure nice to have when you're shopping around.
Tell me, Mr. Cranston, I received a dinner invitation the other day. On the invitation were the letters RSVP. Can you tell me what that stands for?
Oh, certainly. That stands for RISVP.
RISVP?
RISVP, yeah.
And what does RISVP stand for?
RISVP is Pivzer spelled backwards.
Oh. Of course. How silly of me. Now, after this dinner, should I send my hostess a bread and butter note?
You look pretty stupid writing on pumpernickel.
Mr. Cranston, I believe someone is pulling my leg.
Well, it ain't me, buddy. I got both hands on the script.
Yeah. Mr. Cranston, our time is growing short, but I would like to ask one last question.
What is it? Go ahead. What is it? Ask it. Hurry up.
How did you first become interested in good manners?
Well, when I was a small kid, I didn't have no manners, see? But I soon saw the error of
you what?
I soon saw the error of my miserable ways, and at the age of one, I was a changed baby.
Well, how were you changed?
Oh, the usual way, a double diaper, you know.
No, I mean, what made you different at 1 year old?
Well, I tell you, see... I was playing on the floor one day when I suddenly took inventory of myself. My hair wasn't combed. My face was covered with egg stains. My little romper was dirty and torn. And I had just spilled a plate of oatmeal in my lap. I crawled over to the mirror as fast as my chubby little legs could carry me, looked straight into my baby blue eyes and said, "Clyde Cranston, you're a slob."
Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields. First such report published about any cigarette. A responsible consulting organization reports a study by a competent medical specialist and staff on the effects of smoking Chesterfields. For 6 months, a group of men and women smoked only Chesterfield, 10 to 40 a day, their normal amount. 45% of the group of smoked Chesterfields from 1 to 30 years, for an average of 10 years each. At the beginning and end of the 6 months, each smoker was given a thorough examination, including x-rays, and covering the sinuses, nose, ears, and throat. After these examinations, the medical specialist stated, "It is my opinion that the ears, nose, throat, and accessory organs of all participating subjects examined by me were not adversely affected in the 6 months period by smoking the cigarettes provided." Remember this report and buy Chesterfields, regular or king size, premium quality Chesterfields, and much milder.
There isn't a singer in the business who hasn't taken a whirl at this next song, and I'm not going to be an exception. I'll just sing it and hope you like it half as much as I do.
If you love me half as much as I love you, you wouldn't worry me half as much as you do. You're nice to me when there's no one else around. You only build me up to let me down. If you miss me half as much as I miss you, you wouldn't stay away half as much as you do. I know that I would never be this blue if you only love me half as much as I love you. As I love you, you wouldn't stay away half as much as you do. I know that I would never be this blue if you only love me half as much as I love
you. Thank you very much. Very kind. Folks, our guest tonight is the author of some of the most singable songs of our generation, and when he isn't busy writing songs or playing piano or singing, he manages to keep pretty active, building up his reputation as one of movie land's top character actors. I guess you know that all this could happen to nobody but Mr. Stardust himself, Hoagie Carmichael.
Thank you, folks, and thank you, Dean.
Well, Hoagie, it's a real pleasure to have you with us tonight. You have no idea how much Jerry is looking forward to meeting you. He's a great fan of yours.
From what I've heard, this could be fatal.
Why, you don't believe all those rumors about Jerry, do you? For your information, that boy is just as kind and sweet and gentle as any other idiot.
Hey, Dean, I just had a...
Good heavens, there's a strange little bee in our hive.
Oh, start in now, Jerry. You know very well who this is.
Will you give me three guesses?
All right. I'll give you three guesses.
Good. I give up.
I'll give you a hint. He plays piano.
He plays piano. How silly of me. How are you, Harry? How's Beth?
Listen, Buster, Harry Truman isn't the only piano player in the world.
Yeah, well, that ain't what Margaret says.
Look, Jerry, I am Hoagie Carmichael, and I write songs.
How do you do? I am Jerry Lewis, and I write love letters in the sand.
Jerry, you should show a little respect. After all, Mr. Carmichael is a songwriter and a piano player and a singer and an actor.
What's the trouble, buddy? Can't you hold a job?
Jerry, I don't think you quite realize who our guest is.
Oh, sure I do. I know Herbie Carmichael. He's that poker-faced guy who sings and plays the piano in all those pitches.
Oh, then you do know me.
Sure. Hey, how come you never smile when you're playing the piano?
I don't want people to confuse me with Liberace.
Say, Hoagie, I've often wondered how a songwriter gets his inspiration for a song.
Well, the inspiration varies. You know, let's take the time I wrote Old Buttermilk Sky.
No, let's take the time I wrote the sequel to it.
Oh, you wrote a sequel to Old Buttermilk Sky?
Sure, Old Sour Cream Cloud.
Old Sour Cream Cloud?
Jerry, I didn't know you were a fellow songwriter.
You didn't? You ought to hear my new one that I dedicated to Terry and the Pirates. It's entitled Dragon Lady, You're Dragon Lady.
But what, you're Dragon Lady? You shouldn't be dragging, Dragon Lady.
It's a waltz.
Now, you pay no attention to him, Hoagie. Yeah.
You know something, Dean? Next time I guest on a radio show, I think it'll be a quiz show. Something tells me they're easier.
Well, no need to wait for it, Hoagie. With a little music and a few choice words, we can get into one right now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Hoagie Carmichael are proud to present their version of that popular quiz program, You Bet Your Life, entitled... No, You Bet Your Life. And here he is, your master of ceremonies.
That's me, Groucho Martin. Well, our jackpot chart is $9,999.99. If anyone finds a penny in the theater, it may be the one we're looking for. George Fenton? Good heavens, it is George Fenton. Who's our first couple?
Well, Groucho, just before we went on the air, the studio audience selected two atomic scientists as our first couple, and they're waiting in a little room off stage.
You better call our second couple.
For our second couple, Groucho, the studio audience selected a German music professor and a popular songwriter. Gentlemen, meet Groucho Martin.
Welcome to No, You Bet Your Life. And suppose you tell our listeners a secret word. It's a common word. We use it every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word is lithionamic dergititis.
Now, if either of you contestants guess the word, you will divide 18 cents between you.
Is it lithiomatic dergititis?
My goodness, it's amazing. That's the first time anyone ever guessed our secret word.
What's the matter? Don't nobody read the script?
Wow. You must be the German music professor. Tell me, what's your name?
Well, in Germany, they call me Hansford Obermacher von Kriegelhofer. But in America, they pronounce it Rory Calhoun.
All right. Now let's talk to the other contestant. What's your name, sir?
Hoagie Carmichael.
Is that a name or an address? Tell me, Mr. Carmichael, have you met your fellow contestant, the professor?
Oh, no, I haven't, Groucho. Hiya, professor. Slip me the skin.
Slip you some skin? I have hardly enough for myself.
You don't understand, Professor. Slip me some skin means let's shake hands. That's the way the modern musicians talk.
Ah, these modern musicians. No wonder they don't play good. They're too busy slipping the skin. but they don't fool me, and someday they will stop fooling the American pooper.
Professor, the word isn't people, it's people. Peep.
Peep?
Peep.
Peep, peep?
Peep, peep.
We better stop this.
What's the matter?
My peep is getting pooped.
Professor? You certainly take the cake. On second thought, I think I'll take the cake. The frosting matches my wallpaper. Say, how about getting on with the program? Now I got to get home and work on my new song.
Writing a new song? What's it called?
Well, it's pretty sweet and sentimental. I call it, When You Gave Me Your Lip, I Thought I'd Flip.
Ah, I like that. Maybe it'd be good for me to teach this song for my new pupil, Johnny Ray's grandfather.
Hey, you're teaching Johnny Ray's grandfather to sing? Is he good?
Ah, he's wonderful. Wunderbar. Ooh. Of course, he's a little too old to cry, so when he sings, dust forms in the corner of his eyes.
Gentlemen, it's time to go down with the questions. This is your big chance to beat the other couple. George Fenneman will remind the audience who's winning so far.
The sponsor and the sponsor's wife are way ahead with $18 million.
Well, we're running short of time, so we'll skip right to the jackpot question. Your category is military slogans. And here's your question. Which general, in which battle, issued that world-famous battle cry, Stop? You have 10 seconds to answer that question.
Well, I think it was...
I'm sorry, your time is up.
Hey, wait!
I'm sorry, but you'll have to wait in the little room offstage.
Well, Groucho, you forgot the atomic scientist. There's no little room offstage. Stop him before...
All right, Phantom. Who's our third couple?
Here's what the Tobacco Trade Press has had to say about Chesterfield.
U.S. Tobacco Journal. Boston, Massachusetts. Chesterfield Cigarettes in the new king size is still maintaining large turnovers in this area. Dealers report that sales continue to climb on this size, and it seems that volume on the regular size has climbed to new heights with its big brother.
And Tobacco Leaf reports from Chicago. More calls for Chesterfield king size cigarettes than for most brands being marketed.
Dealers all over the country tell us no product they ever handled has grown so fast in so short a time as king-size Chesterfields.
King-size cigarettes give you quantity, but only Chesterfield king-size gives you quantity plus quality, premium quality.
Chesterfield king-size contains tobaccos of better quality and higher price than any other king-size cigarette.
In fact, the only difference between Chesterfield King Size and Chesterfield Regular is that the King Size is larger, contains more of these same tobaccos, enough to give you more than a 1/5 longer smoke.
So remember, Chesterfield is the only cigarette to give smokers premium quality in both regular and King Size.
Ask your dealer for Chesterfield, either way you like them. Premium quality Chesterfields, and much milder.
Tonight, we pull an old favorite off the shelf and take you for a little trip down memory lane. And I guess we can consider it fitting and proper to dig into that huge stockpile of Hoagy Carmichael hits. I could probably pull out any one of his songs and be sure of a happy reception, but we had to pick one, and we settled on Two Sleepy People. So, Richard, here we go.
Here we are, out of cigarettes, holding hands and yawning. Look how late it gets. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Here we are, in a cozy chair, picking on a wishbone from the frigid air. Two sleepy people with nothing to say, and too much in love to break away. Do you remember the nights we used to linger in the hall, Father didn't like you at all. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall? To rent this little nest and get a little rest. Well, here we are, just about the same. Foggy little fella, drowsy little dame. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. About the same, foggy little fella, drowsy little dame, two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight.
Dean, I just have to tell you, from the day Frank Lesser and I wrote that song, I can't remember enjoying it any more than I did tonight.
Well, thank you, Hoagie, and on behalf of all my fellow singers, thanks for writing the tunes that help us make the grade.
Dean's right, Hoagie. That sure is a pretty tune. Two sleepy pooper by dawn.
Jerry! It's people. Peep. Remember?
Peep?
Peep.
Peep, peep.
All right, boys. I'm not going to listen to this peep get pooped again.
I don't blame you, Hoagie. But it's been fun having you with us, and let's hope you can drop back soon again.
Yeah, and do that, Hoagie. But remember, next time when you come on the show, I'll sing Stardust for you.
Well, I just want to say goodnight to you, Hoagie. You've been real wonderful.
Thank you. Good night, Dean.
Thanks for being a wonderful guest.
Good night. Thank you, Hoagie. We'll be around next week, folks, and we're counting on you joining us. We're also counting on your smoking our Chesterfields, regular or king size. It's the one for you.
Get them today, friends. Dean and I wouldn't be selling Chesterfields unless we knew it was the best cigarette.
So until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And this is Jerry Lewis reminding you that our latest picture, Jumping Jacks, is playing at your local theaters. We hope you'll go see it.
Good night
and God bless you all.
From Hollywood, you've just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Mack, with music prepared and conducted by Dick Stabile. And this is George Fenneman asking you to listen to a personal message from Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to get serious for just a moment and express our heartfelt thanks to all of you who have sent contributions to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And for those of you who haven't contributed as yet, please give this wonderful charity a little thought. Somewhere there must be a cure for muscular dystrophy, and your contributions will help our wonderful scientists to find it. Please mail your contributions to MDA 21 East 40th Street, New York. That's MDA 21 East 40th Street, New York City, New York. Thank you and good night.